This is In Focus, the weekly public affairs program from KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place.
Good morning, everybody. Good to have you with us here on In Focus. I'm Roger Gray, and joining us is Bailey Nichols from PAVE East Texas, which stands for
Pathways for Adults Via Education.
Welcome, first of all. Good to have you here. This is an outgrowth of the old Literacy Council, right?
Yes.
Can you explain why the transition?
Sure. So, So Literacy Council of Tyler was founded in 1990, and originally it was to help adults with basic literacy. And it kind of transitioned over time to providing GED preparation classes and English language classes. So kind of as we've grown and went into new locations, we kind of saw the need for a new name. Okay. Literacy is a hard word to say. No one knows what it means. Council was just kind of a funny word. No one really knew what it meant. And then of Tyler, we weren't just in Tyler anymore. Okay. So the discussions surrounding a name change weren't new, but in 2024, we officially changed the name on July 15th to PAVE East Texas to kind of show, with us being in six counties now, to kind of show that growth and all the communities that we serve.
Which counties are involved in this?
So we're mainly in Smith County, but we also serve Henderson, Anderson, Cherokee, Raines, and Van Zandt.
Okay. And obviously, it has grown beyond just literacy, as you just mentioned. And I was thinking back to an incident years and years ago. I was in a supermarket. This went down in Houston, where I'm from. And a very nice older lady walked up to me and showed me an item, a little carton of ice cream or something, and asked me, "What does that say?" And I, chocolate chip or whatever it was. And she, okay, thank you. And she put it in the cart and walked away. And at first I thought, she needs better glasses. Mm-hmm. But then I realized, I'm not sure she could read it.
Right.
Would it surprise people to know how common it may be?
I think it would. So the statistics that we have are 61% of adults in East Texas read and write at or below an eighth grade level, and 28% read and write at or below a fifth grade level. So that's one thing that I think people would find astonishing. And it's nothing, that they can help, but it's one of those things they've kind of just gone through the motions of life, and it may be something that they've just kind of had to learn how to navigate. But it really does. It affects people's everyday life in a grocery store, in a medical office, all sorts of things.
Well, and as you say, they have probably learned coping skills. Mm-hmm. They know what a stop sign looks like, et cetera, et cetera. But I would also surmise, and maybe I'm wrong, that it's tough to come forward and say, I need some help on this.
Exactly. Yes. Especially, Pathways for Adults via Education. Mm-hmm. We have great school systems in East Texas and in Tyler. And with adults, it could be all sorts of circumstances. They had to drop out because they had children, or they had to work or take care of parents and family and things like that. All sorts of circumstances. So as adults, they're like, oh, man, I'm going to put myself first for the first time, And so we serve a range of, from 17 all the way up to people in their 70s, either learning English or getting their GEDs. And it's really amazing to see.
Well, it's an area where kids could probably help as well. Dad, it's time. Yeah. It's time. Let's take care of this. Mm-hmm. Because we all, if you just go through the school system, we all kind of assume everybody has learned this.
Exactly.
And we forget that there are folks who haven't.
Yeah.
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 So what brings them to you? Is it, as you say, is it their decision, or as you say, family pressure, whatever? Is there any sort of common factor that work here?
A lot of the students that I see have kids that are, school age, or they have kids that have now gone through college themselves, and they either, yes, they see their children doing it, and they're like, okay, maybe I can do that.
Yeah.
Let's prioritize myself and put myself first for once in my life. There's a student, Kenesha, who has two young daughters. They're college-age daughters.
Uh-huh.
And once they were both in college, that's exactly what happened. She was like, you know what? I've had this dream of opening my own business. I'm going to do something about it. And so she came to us. She started on her GED.
Okay.
And didn't want to just do that. She actually then started our bookkeeping class through our Career Pathways program, then did a business entrepreneurship class through Career Pathways, and then finished those two, and then got her GED. And now she just got her food handler's license, and she's in TJC's culinary arts program. She started this semester.
Wow.
So she, I mean, that's one example, but we see that all the time of, family influence mm-hmm. and just, you know, putting themselves first.
Well, and as you say, in her particular case, a couple of girls in college, mm-hmm. for goodness sakes, you know, and I went to all this trouble to get them there. Maybe it's time.
Exactly.
Yeah. And back to the literacy thing, I would imagine also at a certain point, just one embarrassing moment too many. I'm going to do something about this.
That's probably a factor as well. We see people from all walks of life, and that's one thing that's so beautiful about it is we have volunteers that work one-on-one with folks. We have classes that kind of range from that basic literacy mm-hmm. all the way up to, like, they can take their GED tests tomorrow. So that's just one cool thing is we really see a wide range of students come through. And then on the English language side, you know, we have people, we were just at Ray Perryman's mm-hmm. speech last week, and over 1,000 people are moving to Texas every week, I believe is what he said, which is crazy. So we see people from all over coming here and all sorts of countries. Mm-hmm. And so that's one thing with the English language program is we have classes where it's all English immersion. So any level of English, mm-hmm. they can be in class together. And it's just really cool to see those cultures kind of merging and things like that.
How do you handle that? How does one organization, as a sort of umbrella, handle something like English as a second language?
It's a lot. We have
We have
amazing staff and mm-hmm. volunteers. I mean, that's what makes the world go round, as well as our donors to make these, you know, programs even happen in the first place. But our staff are just resilient, and they truly do love what they do. And so that's a huge part of it. They are there for those students through the entire walk. Mm-hmm. And our volunteers, you know, if they do need that extra little, like, one-on-one time, or mm-hmm. we have one volunteer that takes time out of his week every week to do a conversational English class after their main classes.
Okay.
And it's just so cool. I mean, they're sitting in tables and just practicing conversing in English.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot. We do a lot of different things. And that's, you know, one part of this rebrand was making sure it's very clear all mm-hmm. the things that we do. So with that, you know, it is a lot, but we make it happen, make it work.
Well, and when you talk about English, just English immersion, it's just like that. You're diving in the deep end.
Yeah.
And how tough is that? I have to imagine very. I'm trying to picture myself being dropped into, you know, Germany.
Right, exactly.
And luckily, they speak a lot of English because I have been there. But were that not the case, starting from scratch.
I think about that all the time, mm-hmm. kind of going to some country that I don't know the language and how terrifying that must be. A lot of our students, though, have lived here for years. And again, they've just kind of made it work. They mm-hmm. may have kids or family that can translate for them and things like that. Like I said, it's a lot of ranges mm-hmm. of their English knowledge. But you see, you know, it's a wide range of quickness of learning as well. You've got some that pick it up really fast and then some mm-hmm. that it might take a couple of years.
Yeah.
And that's why those classes and the volunteers and tutoring sessions and things like that helps mm-hmm. help so much to kind of get that extra practice.
And like the literacy thing, I mentioned I'm from Houston. In larger cities particularly, there may well be a neighborhood where only that language is spoken. Mm-hmm. Houston has large Hispanic neighborhoods. It has a Chinatown. It has, you know, all of these, you know, a part where Vietnamese is spoken. Mm. And there are people who may never have had to learn it.
Right.
Until they had to do something else mm-hmm. or move somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Come to a town like Tyler, for example, which doesn't feature all of those specialized neighborhoods.
Right.
So,
and that's one thing. Another thing I think about a lot is English. I think they say it's the hardest one to learn if it's not your first language. So I mm-hmm. can't imagine all the words that we that sound the same but are spelled different, things like that. Sitting in on an English class a few weeks ago, actually, I was sitting there and I'm like, they're picking this up, but I don't think I would be as quick to do
yeah.
that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, can we get a little more specific? How do you do that? Where do they go? How does it work?
So each class looks a little different. We mm-hmm. have, so for the English side of things, we have from the beginning level all the way up to level 4 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a wide range, and they move up.
Depending on where you are when you start.
Yes. You take a test whenever we first start with us, and then you take progress tests as you go.
Okay.
You may move up a level. You may stay in the same level for a while. All that's great. Mm-hmm. The class that I sat in on a few weeks ago, I believe, was level 2. So they were working on those words that mm-hmm. like O-U-G-H, those mm-hmm. kinds of words, things like that, going through all the different families of different spellings and things like that. And again, I'm sitting there and I'm like, mm-hmm. they're writing this down, they're understanding, they're saying it, and they're seeing the differences, but I don't think I'd be that sharp.
Well, yeah, you roll out the dough for the pie crust, and no, but that's how through is spelled.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
down
exactly,
what?
Yeah. yeah, now that I think of it, it is a strange language. Mm-hmm. I gather plenty of success stories. As you say, you find people who can just, barge right through it fairly quickly.
Yes.
They just have a knack.
Yes. We have one student who, traditional school just mm-hmm. wasn't for him. And he, this was during 2020, end of 2020, he came to us and completed his GED in 8 days. And then it was crazy. I think to this day have not seen someone that quickly finish it. He then enrolled in TJC for mm-hmm. an IT, associate's degree in IT. And then he went to UT
Tyler. One of your alma maters.
Yes,
yeah.
It sure was.
Yeah.
And then went to UT for IT as well, and now has a bachelor's degree. And it's just crazy. In the span of 4 years, he's got a degree, GED, all the things.
Wow. Yeah. That's incredible.
Yes.
I took a week of German in college and realized this is not the language for me.
Yeah.
That's why I brought up German. I know like 2 phrases from that week.
Right.
Well, let's talk about GED.
Sure.
Where do you get that done? I gather that's at one of the schools.
Yes. So we, our administrative office, we're kind of all over the place with those different sites. We kind of have staff mm-hmm. all over and kind of split where we are. But our main GED services location in Tyler is at TJC West over off the loop, kind of by Rudy's mm-hmm. Barbecue. So that's where our main administrative offices are, as well as our GED program.
Okay.
So anyone can come to us. Anyone can enroll with us. Our GED program, all of our programs are free. But on the GED side, our practice tests are free. The official test is free. And then, of course, the classes are free for anyone that needs to get their GED.
So obviously there is no financial barrier here.
Yes.
to finally getting that, at least that high school equivalency.
Yeah, exactly. We we're so thankful. We have so many generous donors in mm-hmm. the Tyler area, East Texas area, such a generous area to be in, as well as some government grants that allow us
sure.
to do things like that. So that financial burden isn't on the student.
Mm-hmm.
And of course that, spreads to all of our programs are free.
Let's get into the career pathways, because that could be anything. It could be IT. It could be as the woman example you gave. Maybe wants to go into the food industry, the restaurant business, whatever. Where do you start when you say, look, I'm sick of doing what I do. I'm sacking groceries. I'm pumping gas. I'm doing whatever. I want to better myself. Where do you start?
So start by just giving us a call or checking out our website. We have forms on there and things like that.
PAVE, PAVE. Yeah.
Yes. But for Career Pathways, that's such a cool program. I try not to be biased about it, but it is such a cool program.
Mm-hmm.
We partner with TJC to provide certifications and things like that. So we have everything from certified nurse aide to phlebotomy to mm-hmm. HVAC, all sorts of certificates, the business entrepreneurship that I mentioned earlier.
Okay.
So many cool certificate programs.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can go directly to get a job with most of those certifications, which
right.
is so cool. Or, with the Kenesha example that I gave,
yeah.
she got her business entrepreneurship certification and a bookkeeping certification. and now is prepped to start her own business.
Which, if you're going to run a restaurant, you better keep the books right.
Exactly. You know? So it's such a cool partnership that we have with TJC, and we see so many success stories come out of that program.
So what kind of variety of careers are we looking at? I mean, what's I guess anything TJC offers?
There are a few that we only because there's certain things our career pathways students have to follow. So on top of being in a certificate class, we have support classes. So as long as they're enrolled with us, they can get these certifications, and it's free of charge to them as well.
Yeah.
So we offer programs like CNA, CMA, phlebotomy, HVAC, bookkeeping, business entrepreneurship. I know I'm probably forgetting something, but it's more on the I did forget one.
Yeah.
A preschool education certification, which is another cool aspect of this partnership. But there's it's a range, and you know, we're always looking at adding more to our side. That's something we explore every few weeks just to see, hey, what can we offer to our students?
Right.
But that's one of the stipulations, is that they're enrolled with us, and they take part in a support class, and that kind of just preps them with resumes, job interviews, things like that.
I am amazed at the breadth of occupations you prepare people for. I mean, everything from HVAC to teaching. That's remarkable.
Yeah.
How many people do you serve?
We serve
in your various programs.
In our various programs, yes. So we last year in 2024 served 2,187 students, which is amazing.
Okay.
We have been rapidly growing in all of our programs, and so to be serving over 2,100 students is crazy, but it's great.
Well, it's a remarkable resource. That as soon as people find out about it here, I would imagine there would be lots of folks who, if they haven't thought about it, would be interested in taking advantage.
Yes, and that was one thing. I think before the rebrand with the name Literacy Council of Tyler, we were kind of, we've been around for 30, this is our 35th year.
Yeah.
And I feel like we were maybe the most, or the way people were finding out about us the most was through word of mouth. But I think the rebrand's kind of helped us in that way, because we're kind of getting more traction and things like that. Just with a more broad name, people are understanding, okay, it's adult education. But we really are seeing rapid growth across all the counties that we serve.
Well, and that was very smart, quite frankly, changing the name, because, and I had 35 years doing my rough math, we're talking about 1990. Do you know about the history as far as when did somebody decide, okay, yes, we're helping people learn to read. Let's do something else. Let's do something more. Let's see if we can. How did it begin to grow, begin to expand?
So I know in 1990, I don't know the exact specifics, but I do know that there was a group of volunteers that had been together, and they were doing the adult basic literacy.
Right.
And that's how it got started in the
first place.
Helping
that lady in the supermarket.
Yes, exactly.
Read a product.
Yeah, helping our neighbors succeed. And so I know from there it kind of grew to GED and then to ESL classes and things like that. And Nancy Crawford was the executive director for 30 years. She retired in 2020. And so since then, Whitney Patterson has been our executive director. And honestly, since 2020, I think maybe shifts with COVID and things like that.
Yeah.
We saw a lot of younger people in our classes. You know, it's hard. It's hard to do virtual learning.
Sure.
It really is. And I think there's going to be a lot of stuff that comes out about that. But we kind of saw the shift in age. And so anyway, we've just been constantly growing, it seems, since 2020.
Yeah.
Which, you know, on one hand, it's like, why is that? But also, we're here to serve and, you know, help anyone. But it makes you wonder, like, yeah, where, you know, we're obviously here to help, but it's like, what happened?
Yeah. Unexpected growth.
Yes.
We'll put it that way. And you're right. Is any of this available virtually, for example? I mean, I know you mentioned COVID during the pandemic. In an earlier life, I ran a whole TV newsroom from my study because we weren't allowed into the building.
Right.
But you can you can make it work.
You sure can. So I came on in November of 2020. Mm-hmm. We were in the middle. You know, this all happened kind of prior to me joining, but we had to shift everything to virtual. I mean, we couldn't be in the classrooms, and then we had to really learn. But it honestly kind of made us shift our minds a little bit about you can kind of do both. So we do. We do still have virtual options. We know that, you know, in some of these other counties, we're not available to everyone. You know, right. We serve the county, but we're in one city or things like that.
Yeah.
So we have virtual options, people to call in.
Well, TJC's here.
Yeah, exactly.
For example.
Yes. And so we do have Zoom options for all of our program, or most of our programs, not Career Pathways. But yes, so we do still have that kind of hybrid thing going on with most of our programs.
Yeah.
And it allows us to meet more people where they are. And
I know it's a little tougher, but if you apply yourself, you can make the distance learning work.
Exactly.
People are doing it all the time.
Yes.
all right. I'm a young person. I'm thinking about. As I said, I'm tired of what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. It's menial. I want to make more money. I want to have more skills. I come to you guys. Where do we start? How does it work?
So we have kind of an intake form, things like that. We'll do some paperwork, and then we have enrollments, and that you kind of go over what the, you know, it's more paperwork a little bit, but once that's all done, you can go directly into class. We'll test you to see kind of what level you're at, depending on what program you're interested in,
right.
And just kind of see where you need to start. Everything is tailored to the individual student. So that's a really neat, you know, thing as well. Everything is just so personalized. And so from there, you're in class, whether that's a GED class or whether that's English class or whatever it may be. The career pathways kind of follows the traditional schedule, quote unquote.
Yeah.
GED and English classes, you can hop in anytime.
Yeah, because that's going to be the same for everybody almost.
Exactly.
Yeah. As far as careers, aptitude, inclination, interests, that sort of thing, I would guess is...
Oh, yeah.
Part of the determiner.
Yes. Kind of where they see themselves going. And a lot of times we'll see students that come in and they're like, oh, I just want my GED. And then they're like, oh, I can do career pathways. Okay.
Yeah. Well,
I do want to be a phlebotomist, you know. So we see a lot of students, you can do both at the same time, or they transition from GED to career pathways, or they start in our English program. They're learning English. They can take their GED. We have actually GED in Spanish now as well.
Okay.
But we see a lot of our students in all of our programs. And that's what we want. We want them to start with us and see their potential.
Right.
And do these other programs to better their careers, better their families, and all of the above.
Well, and that's a good point, because once they get involved in, for example, the GED, maybe decided to drop out of high school, or circumstances forced you to leave, and you finally want to finish it up. As you say, okay, now I've got that. What more can I do?
Right, exactly. Yeah. You get the first step done, and you're like, wait, I can do this.
Yeah,
it's beautiful to see.
Maybe or maybe not college, but certainly maybe a change of career.
Exactly.
So and I'm guessing the demand has not let up at all. If anything,
it has not, which is great. I think a lot of the influence, I think even with our career pathways program and all the medical certifications that we offer, with the new medical school coming in to town in a few years, I think that'll kind of, again, that'll change up what we're doing and things like that. We're we're growing and adapting all the time, but I think that'll be a huge influence. We're seeing, again, growth in all areas of our programs, and it's really exciting time.
I'm guessing there are a lot of people also that maybe don't realize their potential. I can't picture myself as one of those people in a white coat in a hospital. I've never really been a computer nerd, and I don't know if IT is something I can really handle. Do you find people saying, you know, I surprised myself with this?
Oh, yeah. All the time. Yeah. We have a student. I've got all these student stories in my head. But Tara, she she has such a beautiful story. So she had her first child at 15 years old. Okay. And, yes, had to drop out of school.
Yep.
She has, I believe, 5 children now. And, you know, that first child when she was 15, the mm-hmm. nurse that she had such an impact on her.
Yep.
That she told herself, you know, one day I'm going to be a nurse and I'm going to help mm-hmm. people like she helped me.
Right.
And, you know, it took some time, took some years, but she did. She came to us and got her GED. Then she got her certification through us.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's in TJC's LVN program and she's going to be an RN. You know, she's making it happen.
Wow.
And she just started level 2 of the LVN program. And so it's like, yeah, they do. They have this impactful thing where they're like, you know what? Maybe I will do that one day.
Mm-hmm.
And they do. And they surprise themselves.
There's a wonderful feature on NPR. I think it's My Undiscovered Hero, My Underground Hero. People who had influence on us, and they had no idea they did.
Exactly.
Or who changed your life or made you think about things in a different way without realizing they were doing it. And I'm guessing that's what some people discover. Once they start exploring these career opportunities.
Yes, you just gave me chills. Yes, I think that's exactly what happened. I mean, I think all the time, you know, if that hadn't happened to her, she may mm-hmm. not be seeking to be an RN, you know?
Yeah.
It could completely change the course, but that one woman's kindness
mm-hmm.
is what's shot her to do this.
I just noticed something here in some of the stuff from your website that I printed up. We tend to think we know this is every place is an international city now, and we tend to think, well, it's going to be largely Hispanic and it's going to be largely, you know, there will be some Asian population. You have what, people from 31 countries?
We sure do. When I tell you, we have so many different cultures in our English program, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Every year we have a English language services celebration of sorts, and it's a potluck.
Yeah.
And we have I eat way too much.
The mix of cuisines would be fascinating.
Oh, my goodness. It's so great. I eat way too much every time, but you mm-hmm. can't not. There's so many different dishes.
Yeah.
And it's so beautiful. I mean, we'll have little, like, flags that kind of represent each of their countries.
Sure.
It's great to see everyone come
here,
together.
Try the curry.
Exactly. Yeah. And all these different backgrounds, all these different cultures, and they're all there to learn English together. It's such a beautiful thing.
I'm curious how that works. And I may be getting nerdy about this, but you've got a room full of people. Somebody may be from, you know, Thailand. Somebody may be from India. Somebody may be from Mexico or Argentina, where they speak Portuguese.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all sitting in a room. How does it work?
It's funny how humans are, because somehow they make it work. They do. Like, they could have nothing in common, but you're going to find some way to communicate.
Uh-huh.
And I think with the English classes being that immersion of English, that helps a lot too, because then they start to pick up on certain words and then they speak in English. They may uh-huh. not know their first language and they can communicate that way, but
right.
they learn English and then they can start kind of talking in that way. It's it's amazing. I don't know how they do it, but it's amazing.
Okay. You may speak Thai and you may speak Portuguese, but this is a car and this is, you know, this yep. is a school and mm-hmm. this is, you know.
Yeah, you kind of get that common, it doesn't make any sense. But
we all know what a car is and we all know what a
exactly.
school is,
yeah.
And a hospital and all the rest of it.
Right.
That is remarkable.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Hopefully we made people think about this a little bit. What do you do? Depending on what your interest is in all of this, mm-hmm. where do you start?
So you can give us a call anytime. Our phone number is 903-533-0330, mm-hmm. or you can visit our website, www.paveetx.org.
That's PAVE.
ETX.
Like save, gave, you know, we're talking about English, you know.
Yes. We're also active on social media. You can message our social media anytime. We're on Facebook and Instagram. And we would love to help anyone that's interested in any of our programs. Again, a full list of all of our programs is on our website. But we're here to help. Our programs are free, and we would love to help if you or someone that you know needs our services.
And again, the thing to remember also is, if you've often thought about this but wonder, how in the world would I do it? How in the world would I afford it? that's not really an issue.
Exactly. And I will say one stat we have on our website, we say often just as a reminder, is 9 out of 10 of our adult students either obtain a job, mm-hmm. earn a GED, or go on to higher education within 1 year of completing one of our programs, which is awesome. So we see a lot of success stories out there. So if you're out there thinking maybe, oh, I can't do it, yes, you can.
Bailey Nichols, thank you so much.
Thank you for having
me. Appreciate it. It's been wonderful. And it is PAVE, folks. If you didn't catch all of that, look them up. And thank you all for being with us, and we will see you next week.
In Focus is a weekly public affairs program featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place. In Focus is produced by KTBB and the Team Sports Radio. And we thank you for listening. Join us again next week.